Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys.
So we just want to do a quick little disclaimer at the beginning
of
this.
And this is our third take, just FYI.
At the beginning of this episode, to let you know that we've actually changed the name of the podcast from this point forward. So this week, you're going to hear us say Generation X. We've actually changed the name to Generation Y, and the reason why is because we felt that better reflected our audience and the demographic that will be listening to this primarily. Anyone can listen to the podcast, but we just wanted to let you know we're going to change the name.
And so in this podcast, you're going to hear us say, you know, all of our contact information. It's all generationxpodcast@gmail.com. You actually want to hit us up at generationypodcast@gmail.com. Our new Twitter handle is genypodcast. Same thing with our website, genypodcast.
Basically, change the X to a Y, and next week we'll have a new intro and stuff. Let it all change. So
enjoy the podcast.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my underground lair.
You're listening to the Generation X podcast, covering everything from the 90s and early 2K. Hey guys, welcome to episode number 2 of the Generation X podcast. My name is Amy.
And I'm Josh.
And today's episode, we are going to be talking about one-hit wonders of probably mainly like 97, 98, awesome one-hit wonders, songs you may have forgotten about. But first, I wanted to just say that we got more downloads than we had ever expected for the first episode, which was about TGIF on ABC. And I've gotten some positive feedback, and I really want to hear from you guys. So if you have any advice, any feedback, if you want us to talk about anything particular, just email us at generationxpodcast@gmail.com. So how are you?
Excuse me. Good. I got a cold, so I'm gonna try not to cough.
You're always sick.
All throughout the podcast.
Everybody in my house is always sick except for me.
Except for you.
Yep. It's all that organic.
No, I'm good, other than the fact that I'm sick.
But yeah, no, I wanted to give a quick shout out to Classic Console Magazine. We just finished the cover, and it is awesome. So if you're into retro gaming, sign up for our free Classic Console Magazine. So just the website is Classic what is it?
What is it?
Classic Console Mag.
No, it's not. That's not what it is.
Yes,
hold
it
on.
Is.
No, it's yeah, classicconsolemag.weebly.com.
And it's free to subscribe. Totally free. You get it in your inbox. It's really cool. We have a ton of subscribers now, so if you're into that. But let's get on with the show, because we got a lot of songs to cover. We're going to do 10.
10 songs.
10 wonderfully cheesy.
Some of these make me want to gouge my eyeballs out with a spoon.
Some of them I was listening to and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot about that song. Yeah, you'll be excited.
Yikes. Okay, ready to do number 1?
I am.
Or is it number 10? Are we counting down or counting up?
I don't know, whatever.
Whatever, let's play the first
number,
one.
Number 10.
They're not in any particular order, are they?
No.
In order of like how well they did?
No.
Okay. No. So let's play number 10, do you want to say what it is?
C'est la vie by Bewitched.
Oh boy.
Like that song?
Like is not a word I would use. I will say this, it's one of the more tolerable ones on here.
It's very dirty, and I didn't know this when I was younger.
I'll show you mine, I'll show you yours.
No, I know, but like when you're younger, you're kind of like ignorant.
So I mean, come on.
Like, I know.
The first thing I thought about was like two kids playing doctor or something. It's like really it's disturbing.
But, C'est la vie is a song by the Irish girl group. Their name is Bewitched.
Oh, I thought they were like British. Well, I guess Irish is part of the UK, but
no, you can realize. Tell by their accent.
Oh yeah, I guess
song.
At the beginning when they're talking.
Some
the beginning of the
say
song.
I look
yeah,
like my dad.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
their songs were so cheesy. Oh my gosh, I actually had their album when I was like what was it 98?
Yeah, 98.
The song, yeah, it came from their self-titled debut album. In 1998.
Is it their only album? Isn't their one-hit wonder?
Actually, they just made a comeback.
Oh boy.
They were set to release an album in September 2014. So, yeah, they just made a comeback. Huh. I haven't listened to the song. I have no idea if it's good or not.
Oh yeah, they unveiled a new song called Love and Money. Okay.
Yes. But I forgot where I was going with this.
They're making a comeback. All this part here about what they revealed in 2013, what the song is really about.
Oh, yes. We're not going to say it.
It's about sex.
No, and other things. This is a family-friendly show.
Did you say the word sex?
S-E-X. We can spell it.
Okay, we'll spell it out. There we go. Yeah.
In case there's any children listening.
So it was a huge success. Do we know how many millions of copies it sold?
No.
But, I know of it. Like, I think everyone's heard that song if you're around in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I remember it being made fun of because I liked that song, though.
Their new EP that's coming out is called Champagne or Guinness. I would say champagne. I'm sorry all you Guinness drinkers out there and people that are in Ireland. Guinness sucks. Guinness is good if I have it once a year, like at St. Patrick's Day. Other than that, I don't like Guinness.
You gotta drink some Vermont beer.
Yeah.
We live in Vermont and we have, like, the best beer. Okay. So
supposedly it's already out. So they released on the 20th of September 2014.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know how well it's doing. I haven't really heard much about it. I don't know. Maybe I should have looked something up for that.
That's all right.
This podcast, but
that's not the point. We're living in the past. We're not living in the future.
It's true.
Not living in the now.
But no, they're still around. So you want to listen to them?
Wonderful.
Go ahead. They're there. Have fun.
I guess it's better than Justin Bieber. I'd rather listen to that than Justin Bieber.
Good God.
You're not a believer?
I don't even want to talk about that. No, I'm not a believer. No.
All right, ready to move on to number two?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so do you want to play it and then we'll talk about it after?
Yep.
All right, here it goes.
I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me. In 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine.
Okay, I like that song a lot.
I absolutely love
it. When it first came out, I hated it because I was like, this is just a guy talking. It's not anything.
As you get older, though, you really appreciate all the advice that is in that song. I have always loved that song.
So who is this Mary? So you want to talk about who it is? Do you even know how to pronounce their name?
No, they're a little complicated. But it was actually, it was a graduation speech.
What is it? What's the name of the group? Baz Luhrmann?
Mark Anthony is his name. And he also goes by that name.
Okay, Mark, but not the Mark Anthony that was married to J-Lo. Not M-A-R-C, M-A-R-K. So Mark Anthony Baz Luhrmann. Australian film director, screenwriter, and producer, best known for a bunch of stuff he did. A bunch of film director, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this guy's a film director that made music?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's not the person talking, though, is he? No.
Yes, that's him.
He says Australian. He's not Australian.
Oh.
Does it sound Australian?
No. It's spoken word song released in 1998 by Baz Luhrmann. Yeah, it's him. No, it's a really awesome song. Like I said, it was a graduation speech that he, you know, spoke in behind with music or whatever.
But he didn't write the speech, though. It was written by Mary Schmitch. She's an American journalist. Actually, I'm looking her up right now. Wear sunscreen. So it says...
So did we even say the name of the song?
I don't think we did. So it's called Wear Sunscreen. Her 97 column began with the injunction to wear sunscreen and continued with advice for living without regret. So, okay, so it was a excuse me. It was a column in the Tribune that she writes for, Chicago Tribune. And so it wasn't actually a commencement address. She wrote in the article that it would be what her commencement address would be if she was asked to give one.
Well, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So it has gone around on the internet and been claimed to be given by somebody else. Of course, I don't know these people because they're not from the 90s. Kurt Vonnegut? Vonnegut. He's an American writer, apparently. So, oh, I've read Slaughterhouse-Five, so I do know some of his writing. I don't remember his name. That's actually not a bad book. The rumor was that he had given it at MIT, at the college MIT. Not true. It was written by by Mary, and then this other guy turned it into a song. So it's kind of cool. I feel like there was a lot of songs in the 90s that were like music with like talking set to it, or like music with like, it wasn't like your traditional kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
There was one with the Native American singing. You know what I'm talking about? Is that Enya?
Oh, I don't know if that's Enya, but I know what song you're talking about. I love that song. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. That, and it's like Native American chanting set to like music.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like kind of weird, like there people were really kind of experimenting with different sounds mm-hmm. and stuff in the 90s.
Yeah.
Which I like. I feel like now, of course, I don't want to get into a rant, but I feel like now most music's pretty like canned.
Generic.
Yeah.
They all sound the same. And I honestly, like, I feel so old saying this because this is stuff that my parents used to say. Like, today's music is just not as good. But, like, I hardly listen to any of the new stuff. Like, I can't tell apart Rihanna's music to Ariana Grande. I can't, they all sound the same. They all have that, like, electronic sound with the auto-tune. And I don't know. I feel like the 90s had awesome music. I know you think the 80s had better music, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's what you said.
I like 80s music. I mean, also, I've listened to 90s, you know, Nirvana, and I'm more of, like, the rock type person.
I feel like
early Green Day.
I feel like the 90s is when music, like, really took a turn. Like, I don't know how to say what I'm saying.
The way that I look at it, this has always been what my theory is that you have, like, usually you have two decades of really good music, then you have, like, a decade of, like, crap music.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, you had 50s and 60s. You had really good music in the 50s and 60s. You had, you know, Elvis, the Beatles kind of laying the foundation for music. And in the 70s, yes, there were some great 70s rock bands. So my theory isn't bulletproof. But you had a lot of crap in the 70s. That's when disco happened and all that stuff. Like, there was a lot of crap music in the 70s. And, like, KC and the Sunshine Band. Like, ugh. And then you had the 80s where it was really good. The 90s were really good. And then, like, again, in the early 2000s, you had, and I'm sure at some point we'll do an episode about this, you had, like, really good pop punk and some things that were really good.
I think R&B and hip-hop were really good in the 2000s.
But it was the early 2000s.
And then
after 2004 was crap.
Oh, I agree.
And so, and you're still kind of in that crap stage. We haven't really come out of the crap yet. So there's not, like, any...
We're going to get, like, so much hate, man.
I know we are. There's not really, like, any, like, the only thing I can think of that's even, like, experimental and sort of, like, driving the music industry to being, like, kind of a new and thing, it'd be like, and I don't even really like dance music, but some of like these DJ artists now and like stuff like Skrillex, you know, all that weird stuff, like that, at least to me, even though I don't consider them necessarily musicians, or I don't consider it like a performance, it's more of like they're just really good at producing.
Mm-hmm.
I consider them some of the new musical geniuses because they're really good at producing, they're really good at making music, even if it's with a computer.
Even
but, like, all of, like, all the R&B, the hip-hop, the rap, the pop music, it's all, like, just generic as crap now.
It doesn't take it. It's not, like,
it all
art.
Sounds the same.
I feel like it's not art anymore.
Right.
Like, they don't even write it themselves anymore.
But at some point, what's going to happen is it's cyclical. At some point, like I just said, you have good music, crap music, good music, crap music. At some point, we're going to get into, you know, hopefully not too much longer, there'll be the point where we'll have good music coming out again that's really creative and different. And what happens is people get sick of the same old, and they stop buying records. And, of course, now this day and age, people don't buy records anyway, but everyone's on iTunes buying singles. And if the singles stop selling, then they'll stop putting out this dance music crap that they're putting out now.
Yeah.
And I'm somebody who, like, I don't like dance music, and I don't mind, like, the 90s dance music. Like, I don't actually mind that. I kind of, like, joke about it because I think it's funny, but, like, you know, like...
But, you know, 90s dance music all sounds the same, too.
But it's different. It's different.
They all have that bass that, like in a lot of Spice Girls songs. What is it? That sounds like a car, like a vroom.
That woo.
Yeah, they all have that. Like, I feel like that happens in every decade. They all have, like, a similar sound.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. All right, we should move on.
But we're just stuck in the 90s. Oh, one quick correction before we move on. Everyone says it's called wear sunscreen. Yeah, it's not even a word. Wear sunscreen. Wear sunscreen is the name of the essay, and it's actually called Everybody's Free, and then parentheses to Wear Sunscreen is the name of the song.
And I suggest you listen to it if you haven't heard it. Like, seriously, like, this is so cheesy that I'm saying this, but it'll give you goosebumps, because the advice in there is just, it's awesome.
Oh, it's good.
It's really good advice.
Yep.
You should definitely take a listen. All right.
Ready
next
to go on.
Song. Yes.
All right, let's play it, and then we'll talk about it. Can I talk about this one? Because I love this song.
Sure.
I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
I love this song.
I remember when that song
came. Can I just say that?
I remember all the guys in school liked that song.
I love this song. It might be, like, kind of stupid.
It's so stupid.
It's cheesy.
It's catchy, though.
But I like it.
It's really catchy. It's by, what, Chumbawamba?
Chumbawamba, yeah.
I never knew that it was called, what is it?
Tub Thumping. You didn't know that?
No.
That's what it's called.
I always called it the I Get Knocked Down song.
And that's not what it's called, though.
I never knew that it was called that until I think you're the one that told me
that.
Yeah,
Tub Thumping.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, peaked at number 2 in the UK singles charts, peaked at number 6 in the United States and top charts all over the rest of the world. And, yeah, it was their big, big, big single. I remember the year that came out, I think it was in the summer. Yeah, August 1997. Yeah, I remember it being, like the middle of the summer. And that thing came out, and, like, it was all you heard on the radio.
Yeah, I remember
And
that.
I was pretty young then still. I mean, what was that, like, I would have been 11? And so I remember, like, at school, I'll be singing it, and we're all like, perform the night away. Because we didn't want to say the word pissing, because we were going to get in trouble. We're like, perform the night away. I can't sing because I have a cold right now. But we're all like, perform the night
Wait,
away.
Before you go on, can I just say something real quick?
What?
About, like, being innocent and, like, being afraid you're going to get in trouble. Okay, so everybody Backstreet's Back, you all know that song.
Yeah.
They're like, am I original? And they're like, am I?
Yeah.
S-E-X-U-O. And we would always say, am I B-P-U-O?
B-P-U-O?
Because we would never
Wow.
Okay, go on.
Yes. So, I'm not to follow that up. Chumbawamba was a British alternative music band. What, really? 3 decades? Is that right?
It's from Wikipedia. It has to be right.
It's not always right if it's on Wikipedia. 3 decades? Were they, like, around, like, the 70s or something? It says 3 decades. When was their first album? Wow, 82.
Cool.
No way. Really? I did not know that.
So their first album was in 82?
Yeah, 82. Wow, look at them now.
Oh.
They are old.
There's a woman?
Yeah. Yes? You don't... Hello, the pissing the night away part is a woman. Think about it.
Oh my god, I thought it was a dude with a really high voice.
No.
Oh my gosh, this is
Well,
not...
they're really old, though.
I guess I don't know much about
this. No offense. Well, it makes sense if in 82 they were doing it, and they were probably in their 20s, so...
When did they break up? Break up right there.
2012.
So they've still been going? Did they have any other songs?
That's a decision to disband in 2012.
You don't really hear much about them, and
you haven't heard anything about them. It's not a band that you really heard about after that one song. And I guess the name Chumbawamba doesn't mean anything. So they said that at the time that they formed in the early 80s, there was a whole bunch of bands with obvious names. You know, you had Subhumans, Decadent Youth, Anthrax. You had all these, like, bands that were, like, real, like, aggressive sounding. And they're like, oh, Chumbawamba. Just random name.
Chumbawamba.
But yeah, apparently that they've done songs about different.
Weren't they an anarchist band?
They are, which is weird because that is not an anarchist song at all.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's that they've talked about animal rights, pacifism, class structure. Can't even speak today. Class struggle, feminism. My lord, it must be this cool.
Pop culture.
Yeah, gay liberation, pop culture, anti-fascism. And so they said that they have other singles such as Amnesia, Enough is Enough, Time Bomb, Top of the World, Olé, Olé, Olé. Never heard of any of those songs at all.
Olé,
yeah,
olé,
so
olé.
They were known for this song, and I'd say this song is it. Mm. But that one summer in 1997, this was like my jam, me and all my friends. And we were all way too young to drink. We're talking about, like, it's a whiskey drink, it's a lager drink. Like, we're all, like, 11, talking about getting based, yeah. I mean, I'll edit that out. Getting really drunk.
You should do, like, a beep.
I will.
Beep.
I will. I'll beep it out.
Oh, my gosh. What if iTunes kicks us off? Because I have us under
we
clean.
We won't. We'll edit that out.
All right. So.
My apologies.
This next part. Okay. This next, like, few songs are for all y'all girls out there. Got some boy bands. So. Oh,
good lord.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not looking forward to this. Okay. You want to play the next one? You can talk about these next couple because.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Ready?
Okay.
You
Lord, that was painful.
Baby down on Dream Street.
When you started telling me about that song earlier, we were talking about what songs we were going to do. You played it, and I was like, what?
Well, you know who Jesse McCartney is, right?
And then, yeah?
He was in that band.
Oh, he is?
When they broke up, yep, he became solo. Jesse McCartney.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
So bring up your notes here.
Yes. So they were, this is from Wikipedia. So Dream Street was a short-lived American pop boy band that was formed in the mid-1999s.
That was odd.
Stop it. Dream Street later disbanded in 2002 after a legal dispute between the parents and the group's managers.
So that's why they sound like girls, because they're like super, super young there then.
They haven't hit puberty yet.
Okay.
But no, Jesse McCartney is really the only one that has had any success since the breakup, has enjoyed a successful solo career, releasing 3 CDs, spawning 3 top 10 singles, and is currently working on his 4th.
I mean, I've heard of him. This song, I think I was saying this before you started, when you told me you were going to do the song, I was listening to it, and I was like, I don't remember the song at all. And then the chorus starts, and I'm like, oh, that song.
Songs you forgot about.
I think it's so bad that I blocked it out of my memory.
Hey, you need to calm down.
I know. I'm not big on the boy bands.
Like Aaron Carter.
Except, I will admit to this on the air here, I kind of like NSYNC. I always have.
I was never an NSYNC girl. I was always a Backstreet Boys girl.
I don't like the
Backstreet Boys. And I remember the day that they broke up, my mom told me. She read it in, like, the newspaper or something. I don't even know. And I was bawling.
You're devastated?
My eyes out. Yes. I was so devastated when the Backstreet Boys broke up. And, like, it was just... And then when I heard that they were getting back together and, like, releasing their new single, even now, I'm like, I would so go see them in concert.
What's with all the weird street... You know how, like, in, like, the 80s, we're just talking about how the 80s, it was, like, Anthrax and... Poison is all like aggressive.
All the, like,
and in the 90s,
yeah.
It's like Backstreet, Blackstreet, Dream Street. I'm sure there's others that we can't even think of.
I don't know. I don't even know.
I'm going to start a band called Something Terrace. Like, Happy Terrace.
Amy's Circle.
Memory Lane.
Do it.
Okay.
Can I just admit something real quick,
what?
Since we're on like cheesy boy bands?
Yeah, go ahead.
I actually, well, I may or may not have gone to go see Aaron Carter in concert.
When they played at the local fair?
Yes.
Well, you went to that?
I did.
My brother went to that.
Did he really?
He did.
I was only
I think my dad went to that and had to sit through it. He said it was horrible. So every time the new group would come out, I'd be like, ah! And I'd all be screaming, all the girls.
Oh my gosh, who?
Was that weird, like, there's a weird group.
The girl group?
Yeah, well, and they sing, like, ABBA songs.
Oh my gosh.
A-teens?
No. Oh my gosh.
Are you sure?
You know, you gotta pause it for a second, because I know who it is.
No, I'm sure. I think it's the A-teens.
No, it wasn't the A-teens. Are you talking about who opened for them?
The A-teens.
No, it's not the A-teens. I'm telling you, it's not the A-teens.
I'm telling you, they played at the show that had Nick Carter.
No, it was not the A-teens. It was, it was Play.
Who the heck's Play?
Play.
Who's that?
Play.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm. I'm positive, because I was there.
Okay, we're gonna have to, I will have to, after the podcast over, we'll have to, talk to my brother who was there.
It was Play.
There was more than one band that opened for Aaron Carter, though. I'll tell you, I swear to God, the A-teens were there because my brother used to play it. So growing up, my dad never liked ABBA, but like some of my friends' parents really liked ABBA because that was like the in thing, like in, you know, the what, 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
I hate ABBA. Like, cannot stand ABBA. They're horrible. Except I sort of like that Dancing Queen song, but I'm not admitting that on the air. I'm just saying. So A-teen is like, they're like basically like a teenage ABBA version. They sing all these ABBA songs. I hated them. And my brother was so excited about this group, and I swear they opened for Aaron Carter.
You don't remember that song by Play? It's, there is no one else that I can say this to.
No.
There is nothing better than to talk to you. You need to play it.
No,
if you have
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called Us Against the World.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, I do know that song.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
They were all really, like, tiny, and they sounded like chipmunks because they were so little and young. It was really funny.
Okay, ready to move on to the next song.
Sorry.
It's all right. Ready?
Yes.
Song number 5. Baby, when the lights go out.
Oh,
This group is very tricky. Five with a number five as the F.
Bothers me.
I don't really understand that. It's like, how do you even... Five-ive? Five-ive?
Five-ive?
I think that spelling was wrong for some reason.
I don't know.
So,
but they were a boy band, and I think that they were actually...
Yeah, same... Were you talking about this part here?
But yeah, they were put together by the same team that managed the Spice Girls. So, that whole...
Which means that... What's-his-name had to have been involved with then, right? The guy from American Idol? Simon?
I don't even know.
So, you know Simon, the one who's been American Idol? He was the person that launched the Spice Girls.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't even know
that's why he was. That's why he was on American Idol. That's why he was famous.
Oh, okay. Good to know. He's like I really need to get with the program. For, I'm not like...
Virgin Records or something like that.
Yeah. So they were an English boy band, which makes sense because Spice Girls were English too. Mm-hmm. They formed in 1997, and they only had that one song. That was it. Then they went bye-bye.
That song's not very good.
I love it.
You know, it's a trend here. I don't like the boy band songs. People can write an angry email saying that, like, we love Amy, that Josh guy. He needs to get off that show because he just... trashes on all the boy bands and it makes us very angry.
I'm sorry, but when you're like a 10-year-old girl and you're really into boy bands, like...
I like two boy bands. NSYNC and Together, because Together is hilarious.
They are really funny. And they actually have a one-hit wonder, too, that I almost put in here.
Yes.
But I did not
put. Why didn't you?
Because.
Was it the one about calculus? You plus me equals us?
I don't even... I might have been.
Or was it the song Together?
I don't know.
Oh.
It might have been the song Together.
We should do a podcast about that movie. We should watch the movie and then do a whole episode about the movie.
Okay.
Because that's what launched the whole thing.
Sounds good.
So, when I first heard the song, the song by Five, because I heard it on the radio, I thought it was the Backstreet Boys at first.
Well, yeah.
They sound so about. Close to the Backstreet Boys. At least, like, the other songs you played, they sound a little bit different. Like, this sounds like the Backstreet Boys.
I think they were meant to sound like the
Backstreet Boys. Oh, yeah, it was on purpose. Because
that's, you know, that's what was popular.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I was saying about 90s music, because I think every decade, they always have that same sound.
Like, well, yeah, but, like, the other boy bands, they all sound like, they all have, like, unique sounds, though.
Yeah, like, who was it? Like in the early 2000s, S Club 7.
Right.
They kind of sounded like everybody, like... They all are meant to all kind of sound.
No, I get that, but what I'm saying is all the other one-hit wonders you played so far, like at least they sound different, either because they haven't hit puberty and they sound like a girl, or you know. But this sounds like a blatant, like there is that boy band sound. But if you play me like 98 Degrees or NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, even me who doesn't like boy bands, I think I've made that obvious on here. Except I like Boys to Men, but that's a different kind of boy.
Boys to Men is different.
That's we need to do one about that sometime, like Boys to Men and. Trying classic, to think who
like
else.
Classic bands that you'll never forget.
Oh, God, I'm having a total brain fart right now. Who is the... All for One.
Yeah.
I almost had to look it up. Yeah, like, I Swear, like, all the early 90s stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that stuff. It's more like R&B to me, though, than...
Yeah, no, I agree.
Than it is like boy bands. Yeah, this song sounds like a blatant Backstreet Boys ripoff. Totally like, bad. Does. I'm surprised they didn't get sued, honestly.
Why?
It sounds so much like the Backstreet Boys.
Why would you get sued for sounding like somebody? You can't help who you sound like.
Yeah, I guess it's... Well, we did it on purpose.
Good.
There's a band, unrelated to this podcast, but there's a band, some point I'll have to play for you, Amy, that they sound like the Beatles, like just like the Beatles. And that's kind of, I thought of that. I thought of like in the 60s when the Beatles came out, kind of speaks to how big the Backstreet Boys were.
Oh, I love the Backstreet Boys.
You know, so when the Beatles come out in the 60s, everybody wants to sound like the Beatles. When the Backstreet Boys came out, everybody wants to sound like the Backstreet Boys. And I think now even like, you know, Katy Perry is huge, and so there's all these people that sound like Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that happens in any music genre. You have people that are emulating someone else. Let's move on to the next one. We spent way too much time on that crappy song by Five.
Okay.
We're gonna get hate mail from me. They're gonna say, "What? We love boy bands. Stop it."
Okay.
All right. Ready
Bring
to move
on the hate mail.
Ready to move on to the next one?
Yes.
All right. This song I've never heard of before. And this is the only song on this entire. There's a couple where you told me about them. I went, "What song?" And then. You play that, I go, oh, okay. This song here, though, that we're about to play, never heard this. I have no idea what this is.
That song was I'll Be Your Everything by Youngstown. Did you like that song?
No. It's hard to take a song seriously that has the Inspector Gadget theme song in it.
Well, it's really funny because I didn't actually know that it was the Inspector Gadget song for the movie until this podcast.
It was on the soundtrack for... Yeah. Do you remember the Inspector Gadget movie?
I don't even remember that.
Was that some live action thing?
I have no idea.
I feel like I vaguely remember like Matthew Broderick or something being Inspector Gadget.
But I was listening to the song when we were recording and I'm talking to Josh and I was like, why does this song sound like Inspector Gadget? And then we're reading and we're like, oh, Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick is Inspector Gadget.
But Youngstown is a former boy band. They were formed circa 1998. Their band name actually comes from the town they grew up in, which is Youngstown, Ohio. And let's see. In 2009, two members formed a duo named DC and Dallas. And it's really weird because I actually tried to Google them because I was going to try and get some info on them. And literally nothing comes up except for an old MySpace page.
So they clearly probably aren't
active
anymore.
So, yeah, I don't think that they're doing anything anymore.
Now, is that right? It only peaked at number 71?
Yeah.
So was that actually considered a hit? Like,
Top 100.
Did you hear this song? Like, do you remember this song from when you were younger?
Oh, yeah, I totally remember it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that. I said this before we started, but I've never heard this song ever.
No, I've heard it.
And I kind of wish I hadn't.
Do you need therapy now?
I think so. I need to get one of those, like...
Do you need comforting?
One of those worms that can, like, tunnel into my ear or something.
Ew, oh my God, stop it. It's not okay.
Just so I can't hear anything anymore. Right. You know, sometimes they say, like, I want to, like, burn my eyeballs out with a lighter because you see something that's really disturbing. Yeah. I want to do the same thing, but it's, like, the ear version of whatever that would be.
Oh, God. Okay.
Let's move on. These next songs actually don't suck, so I'm excited about this.
I thought you don't like this next one.
I'm okay with it. I think he's goofy.
Goofy.
Yeah, he's goofy.
Okay, so the next song is Are You Jimmy Ray by Jimmy Ray.
All right, let's play it. Well... Okay, so do you remember one of the first things was I said to you when... I mean, I remember the song. It had been a while, but I'd never seen the video. Now, you were playing the video a couple days ago when we were getting ready for this podcast.
Yeah.
And what was, like, the first thing that I said to you when I saw the video? Do you remember?
He's full of himself.
Well, besides that.
Oh, it's very, like, rockabilly.
Yeah, well, I said he looks like a British Elvis or something. Yeah. He had this giant belt buckle on, and he was all, like, full of himself. And come to find out... He actually has cited Elvis and Buddy Holly and some of these, like, 50s artists as big influences.
Cited so. As not in he had a sighting of Elvis.
No, cited like as Elvis in sighting. As in C-I-T-E-D.
I'm just kidding. I know that.
Oh, okay.
But everybody's always like, I saw Elvis. There was
I did
Elvis
one. Thing. I did one time.
Did not.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I was at a Golden Corral. It was like he was a lot fatter and old, but it was Elvis.
Okay. That song came out in 1988. And let's see, the single entered the Billboard Pop Songs chart and eventually peaked at number 10. And the song peaked at number 13 on the Billboard Top 100.
Hmm.
And his manager was also Simon Fuller. So he's getting around.
Simon Fuller is what? The American
Spice Girls.
Well, also the guy from American Idol.
Yeah, we talked about this already.
Did we?
Yes.
Are you sure we did? Or wasn't us talking about it before we started recording? Or it might have been when we record one of these, we gotta be honest. And, it might have been when we record before that I mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we messed up a couple of them, so we had to redo them. This is part of reality of doing a podcast. It's something you have to do take number two.
No, we did the first take we did, didn't mention any of the names of the
songs. Well, we did the first five.
Yeah, the last five were just like, yep, that song is pretty cool. And then we're listening back to it like, wait, we didn't mention the name of the songs.
So.
But anyway, so Jimmy Ray reemerged in 2009 as a member of the Air Players.
Well, I have no idea what that is.
Song production team. I don't know what that is either. Take that information and do what you want with it, because I don't know what it means.
I'm kind of surprised that he wasn't bigger. I mean, I have a couple thoughts here. First of all, Simon Fuller did the Spice Girls, and he also did, what, Five?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we did mention it. We were talking about Five before.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, things that he... I mean, Five was big. They got pretty big. I mean, it was... technically we said that they're a one-hit wonder on here, but like I remember they, I feel like they stuck around for a while, even though they had like one hit song.
I've never really heard anything else.
Oh, really?
No.
I remember seeing them like a lot on like MTV, like on TRL and stuff.
No. Well, maybe Are you thinking of O-Town?
No. Maybe when that song came out, it just was on TRL for like 2 months. So
yeah,
I used to like come home every day and I'd watch TRL with Carson Daly.
Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right, are you ready to move on to the next one?
Yes, you can do the next one.
I can? Oh, yes. I like this one.
You've been given permission.
Okay, thank you. So next song we're going to play is You Get What You Give by the New Radicals. Well, let's say New Radical.
I think it's
New Radicals, like plural. Okay, let's play the song. So,
New Radicals. I love that song. Yeah, the beginning part I love.
So, I thought this band, first of all, I didn't think they were a one-hit wonder until we came up with this list, and they really were a one-hit wonder. They really only did that one song. And the other thing was, I thought they'd been around longer than that. Is there another band that has the word Radicals in their name?
I don't know. I'll Google it.
You're going to Google it while we're talking?
Yeah.
Okay, because they're only active, this band, from 97 to 99, which isn't very long. But, the single You Get What You Give top charts in Canada and New Zealand, became a top 5 hit in the United Kingdom, and was top 40 in the US. So it did really well.
Radical Face?
No. Oh, no. You know, for some reason, I think, is there a band called like 10,000 Maniacs? I'm pretty sure. I don't know why. I think that's who I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 10,000 Maniacs.
That's who I was thinking about. I don't know why, but that's who I was thinking about.
It has nothing to do with Radical.
I know. Maniac, Radical, I don't know. My mind went to a weird place, I guess.
Like the weird part of you, too.
Yeah, the weird part of Josh's brain. Anything else about that?
No. Nope, I think that there's not much to say about that song. They were around for that one song, and that was really it, and they were done.
All right. And, oh, I should also mention, we weren't gonna, but I should mention it. According to Wikipedia, which they're not always right, there was a little bit of a media spectacle of the song because the closing lyrics of the song basically kind of make fun, according to Wikipedia, of some celebrities such as Marilyn Manson, Beck, Courtney Love, and Hanson.
Marilyn Monroe.
What did I say? Marilyn Manson. Yeah, don't make fun of Marilyn Manson. He'll kill you. Marilyn Monroe, Beck, Courtney Love, and Hanson. And so, yeah, I guess there was like a big media thing about that when the song came out. And honestly, they probably did it to get the song noticed and probably to get famous. Because later on, Hanson actually collaborated with one of the guys from the New Radicals on another CD. So clearly he wasn't too PO'd if he's collaborating with the guy.
Nah.
Okie dokie. So, oh, I love this next song.
Me too. It's one of my favorites.
I think probably this next song is one of my favorites from the 90s.
Me too.
There's one that we didn't put on this list. And, well, actually, no, I won't mention it because...
I put one of mine that I forgot.
Oh, you did?
Down at the end of the list you're reading.
Can we mention honorable mentions real quick?
Yes,
Oh, and then we should do the commercial, and we should come back and do the next one.
Okay, all right.
But honorable mentions, let's do it real quick before we finish up the podcast. I got one. You pick one.
Can I do one? Okay.
Yeah, you do one.
Cleopatra's Theme by Cleopatra. Oh, I was doing the list of like all the one-hit wonders, and then I finished it, and we're going to record, and I was like, no, I forgot Cleopatra's Theme. That's like the one song that I wanted to mention. Oh, let me hear you say it. Cleopatra, Cleopatra, coming at ya. Cleopatra, coming at ya. Cleopatra, coming at ya. Cleopatra, coming at ya. Get a pen and paper, write down on it. You will realize our aim is the same. Can I tell you how hilarious that is? Like, okay, so they're all like, we're going to be around for forever, and we're going to, like, in the lyrics, like, we're going to, like, be number one, and they did one song, and then didn't do anything after that. But they're actually, around that time when they released the song Cleopatra's Theme, it was number 26 in the U.S., and they actually were pretty popular at that time, which is weird because I ask people now and they're like, I've never heard of them. And like, even if you go to their YouTube video, their YouTube video doesn't even have a million views.
But they what? They opened for the Spice Girls, right?
Yeah, they were invited to support the Spice Girls on the UK leg of their sellout Spice World tour, playing to 150 fans at Wembley Stadium.
That's cool.
And this is weird, okay? Not weird, but kind of interesting. They were also invited to perform at the Vatican Christmas Carol concert by request of Pope John Paul II.
Well, he was the cool pope. He was down with all the kids. What's weird about that is that if you look, like, I pulled him up the other day when we were talking about this show, and I don't know why. Yeah, why didn't you put them in this list?
I don't know.
I pulled him up on YouTube and, like, watching one, like, because they've gotten back together, at least for a while. They were doing some reunion stuff, and they were talking about releasing new music, even though nothing's come out. But if you watch, like, some of the stuff on YouTube, like, of some of their live shows they did recently, like, they dress like, how to say this nicely, like, more like most pop stars, like, very skimpy outfits and stuff, and, like, to think that they were requested by the Vatican to sing at a Christmas Carol concert when they're...
Yeah, I never really thought of that.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. But, what was I gonna say?
One of their singers, Cleo, recently appeared on The Voice UK, because she wants to start a music career, and she wants
that's
to
a big
be...
deal.
Yeah.
That's kind of like being on American Idol. Well, I mean, I guess we have The Voice here, too, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, they were sisters, correct?
Uh-huh.
All three of them?
Yep.
Probably yeah. Lasted as long as they did. You get three sisters together.
Stop.
You get on tour buses, and they're all fighting over boys, and...
That's because that's what happened.
Who stole whose clothes, and...
Yeah, okay.
Oh, it totally happens. You took my makeup. No, I didn't. Totally happens. Okay, can I tell my...
Yes.
My, I would say my honorable mention. There's others, too, that we're going to do another one of these episodes, for sure.
We didn't talk about The Verve, though.
Huh?
You missed one.
That's not honorable mention. You just gave away the next song we're going to talk about.
Oh, I thought you thought we were done.
No, I didn't think we were done. We have a couple more to do. Oh, what are you doing? We have two left. You just gave away the next one. Thank you. Calm down. It's all right. Everyone just... Take that out of your mind. You didn't hear us say The Verve, even though I just said it again.
The Verve.
We'll get to The Verve in a minute. We're going to do our commercial in a second, and then we'll get to the last two. So, can I do two? No, I'll do one. We'll save some, because we're going to do another one of these episodes at some point, and we'll do more one-hit wonders.
Okay.
Deal?
Yes.
All right. So mine is going to be, and the only reason why I'm saying this is because when I think of... there's a couple of, like, rock songs in my head that when I think 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And one is one of the ones we haven't done yet, by a famous Canadian person.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you know what I'm talking about, right? Famous Canadian person.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of the ones I think of. Like, I think maybe. 90s, I think, like, if I made a 90s, like, playlist or 90s, like, mix CD or whatever, that song's on it. The other song, and this will be my honorable mention for today, is Semisonic, Closing Time.
Oh my gosh, yes!
That is, and I don't know what year that was. I know we're doing kind of like 97, 98, 99 today, but let me look it up real quick. But that song, now I used to be in a band, I don't know if I mentioned it before in this podcast, and we used to do a lot of, we did like, in bars, we'd do like nothing but 90s covers, and we did this song every time, like at the end of the night, we'd say we'd do Closing Time.
It's original.
So 98. This is right in our wheelhouse. Nice. This is right at the time frame we're talking about.
That's
here.
That's such a good song. I forgot about that one.
Closing Time.
Closing time. One last call for alcohol. So finish your whiskey or beer. Closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
So that would be mine if I had to do an honorable mention. That's my pick for honorable mention.
It's a good one.
That's a good song.
It's a good one.
All right.
So part of every episode, we did not do it in the first one. I don't know why.
Because it was TGIF and it was like an hour and a half or
yeah,
felt like that
it was
long.
A long episode. In every episode of our podcast, we're going to play a commercial from the 90s.
Yeah.
So, and
let's not tell them what it is. Let's just play it and then we'll talk about
we're
gonna it.
We're going to play it. See if you guys remember. Have fun.
All right.
Hey now kids, come gather around. See what just skipped into town. So skip it, skip it. Do run, do jump, do hop hop. Skip it, skip it. Skipping and a screaming and a bop to bop. But the very best thing of all, there's a counter on this ball. So try to beat your very best score. See
change up a whole lot more. Skip it, skip it.
Come on, everybody, skip it. Roaring good fun from Tiger Toy.
I never had one of those growing
up. I did.
I mean, I don't think boys played with that.
I remember my dad came home from work, and me and my best childhood friend, she was over at our house, and my dad had something behind his back for both of us, and he made us guess what they were, what color they were, or whatever.
And they bought your friend one, too?
Yeah, he bought her one, too.
Wow, your dad's nice. Which one of my friend's parents would be like, here, have a random present.
No, but, yeah.
Was it cheap, the Skip It? I don't remember. I don't think that would be like a super expensive item.
But it was awesome. And you know the saddest thing, though? Me and Josh actually recently went to a toy store.
We did.
Because we were going to buy our daughter one. She's 5. And the person at the store said that they have them, but they're not as cool as back then because they don't even have the counters on them.
What is the point?
Which is so lame.
I guess they want kids. It's part of that new Common Core. The kids have to count manually with the Skip It.
No, but it's like the best part of seeing how many skips you can do and having it count for you. And I was so sad. So I was like, I'm not even going to get her one.
That song from that commercial is like embedded in your brain if you watch TV at all in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Because Nickelodeon... It was like
I remember that being like literally every other commercial.
Oh my gosh, it was either like I swear it was like either Lucky Charms or Skip It. Like that was the two commercials that
I remember a lot of commercials. It's really weird. And then there's commercials. Well, me too.
You and I, like, you know, so excuse me. So one of the things that we do here in our house is, which you should do at home, is we will watch like the TGIF shows. We'll make like a playlist of like the TGIF shows. Like we'll do like Full House and Boy Meets World, and we'll have a playlist.
And Josh will put in commercials.
I'll put in commercials. I'll go to YouTube and I'll download the commercials and I'll like embed the commercials. And
you guys should do it. I highly
and do like a simulated TGIF night. It's
and
cool.
If you're too lazy, we need to talk about Nick Reboot too. Go to nickreboot.com. Oh yeah.
Not that there's TGIF. Well, there's a little bit of TGIF.
A little
stuff
bit.
On there.
It is amazing, and they have a free version.
The free is like streaming. It's like watching TV.
And they have an on-demand, which is the best $4 a month you will ever
spend. It's like the Netflix of your
90s
childhood.
Nickelodeon and Nick at Night. Oh my gosh. I literally, like, I was watching Degrassi the other day, and Josh was making fun of me, of course. But
it's very dramatic.
I used to watch it when I was, like, 13, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Degrassi's on. They have Degrassi, but they have everything. It's shows that you've even, like, forgotten about, like, Caitlin's Way. I don't even remember Caitlin's Way.
I vaguely remember
Caitlin's Way.
But yeah, they have, and then the coolest thing is they have, you know, and we haven't done a SNCC episode yet. We'll have to at some point.
Which we will.
But they have entire SNCC, like somebody filmed it with a VHS tape. They have the entire SNCC broadcast from like the beginning to end with all the commercials and everything in between. And the other thing is on the regular free one, just nickreboot.com, they had a Halloween marathon. They're going to do a Christmas marathon too. So which means that Christmas Eve, other than when we go to my aunt's, for a little while, I'm going to be sitting on my butt in front of the TV watching Nickelodeon shows.
I'll be right there.
They're all Christmas themed. I'm very excited.
We're like the nerdiest people ever.
Hey,
people
okay.
are like, wow, they have no lives.
It makes us amazing.
All right. Should we bring on the next?
Our commercial. Let's do our next one. You already gave away what it was.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
So the next song is The Verve Bittersweet Symphony. Let's play a little clip of it. And we'll come back and talk about it. So I am shocked that they're a one-hit wonder. I mean, when I looked at what they released and how things charted, they definitely are a one-hit wonder.
They broke up shortly after.
They broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together, broke up, got back together. And the thing is, they're playing to like, you know, Madison Square Garden. They're playing huge venues for somebody who only had one heavy hit. But this hit is like a huge hit. Like, you know, what do we have? Where? Okay, number 12, Billboard Hot 100. But the year that thing came out, it was like you heard that song all the time. Like,
I remember. Still hear it now.
It's another one. Well, actually, the last two, both of these, like I was talking about Semisonic Closing Time is a song. If I think of like a 90s playlist, I'll put that song in the list. The last one we're going to do is another song that would definitely be on my list. And Bittersweet Symphony, like, how can you make a 90s mix without that song in it?
Yeah.
It's like, it feels 90s to me. Like, it's synonymous. Synonymous. There, that's the word I'm looking for. I'm like, synonymous? Okay? I can't pronounce difficult words, apparently.
It's all right.
Synonymous. There.
You're all good.
It's good. Synonymous with the 90s.
Okay, so...
I can speak.
I don't know if you guys remember the music video, but it was...
I don't.
You don't? It was the singer, Richard Ashcroft, lip-syncing while he was just walking down a busy London sidewalk. And he's, like, oblivious to what's going on. He's, like, knocking people over. And the video actually won 3 MTV Movie or MTV Awards at the Video Music Awards, and it won more awards too, but it does not say what they won. But just says it was nominated for. Oh, it was nominated for a number of awards, including 3 MTV Awards.
So I actually don't know if they even won the award,
sure,
but they're nominated.
They and then it says the Verve broke up in 1999, citing internal conflicts.
But since then, they've gotten together and broken up and gotten together and broken up. And I think the last time was, I think, like 2009 or 2010. And they've done interviews since, especially the singer, which his name is Richard Ashcroft. And he has said, you know, originally they were like, well, we're never going to do anything ever again. And he has now since said, well, we might get back together at some point, maybe down the road.
I think they could do a lot. I really do. I mean, that song was awesome. And the lyrics were really meaningful. Like,
yeah.
It's bands like that that I feel like need to come back.
Yep. They should do like a festival. This is my idea. If I had a lot of money,
a 90s festival.
Like a festival of nothing but like 90s bands.
We're going to make that our goal.
Like the
Generation
like
X.
Like the Warp Tour,
but
90s bands.
We're going to make that a goal. Okay, everybody? Generation X, we're going to do it someday. Maybe in like 40
years.
Yeah,
when I have $10 million to invest in it.
But that's our idea. We claim it. Copyright.
You're like, 90s Palooza. All right. Are you ready to go on?
Yes.
Okay, so our last song, I'm very sad we're at the end of our list. Mm. So let's play it first and not say anything, and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Okay.
I know where I belong, and nothing's gonna happen.
So this is the famous Canadian I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, not as much him, his father. So the song is...
She's So High by
Tal Bachman. So Tal Bachman is the son of Randy Bachman. So if people who are any music fans out there who like listen to stuff other than 90s music, and I know like, yeah, 90s is my real true love, but I grew up, you know, in a household where my dad listened to tons of rock from the 70s and 80s and stuff. And so I was like raised on that, you know. The Beatles, so actually 60s stuff too. Beatles, Beach Boys, Journey, Led Zeppelin, you name it. And so one of the bands my dad really likes, or liked growing up, was Bachman Turner Overdrive. And so Mr. Bachman from Bachman Turner Overdrive is the father of Tal Bachman. He was also in a little band called The Guess Who, which is like the Beatles of Canada. Like they're hugely famous in Canada. And they're famous in the U.S. There's a couple songs. I bet if I played one for you after, you'd go, oh, that band.
Yeah,
I'm sure, sure you know them. But yeah, so he grew up in a musical family, so it only makes sense that he would go on to do music. Now, here's a little trivia question, and we'll go back to Tal Bachman in a minute. Name another band. It was weird. In the 90s, there was a bunch of these, and they don't really exist. There's none that I can think of now. Name another famous band where the singer... So okay, actually, Tal Bachman's a solo artist, but same thing. Name another famous band where the singer... Well, that was loud. That was your iPhone.
Sorry.
That's not 90s. Where the singer of the band has a famous father.
Oh my god, I don't like being under pressure.
Everybody at home, you can play along. So everybody at home's like, I know this. Or maybe they don't.
I probably know once you say it, but I'm under pressure right now, and it's bothering me. Like, I'm starting to have a panic attack. Just tell me.
Bow.
I quit.
You gave up?
Yeah.
The Wallflowers.
Okay, yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
The singer of the Wallflowers is Jacob Dylan. Whose father is?
Bob Dylan.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it right.
And Bob Dylan can't, I mean, I like Bob Dylan, but Bob Dylan can't sing for beans, and his son can sing, but you can tell it's Bob Dylan's son. The minute I say that to you, you listen to the song now, you go, oh wow, yep, Bob Dylan's son. Like, you can tell. Because Jacob Dylan can actually sing pretty good, but he has a very flat range. He doesn't have much variation in his range. But Wallflowers, that's a great 90s band.
Yeah.
And not a one-hit wonder. They had like 4 or 5 songs that charted.
Okay, we're getting right, away from back what to we're Tal talking
Bachman.
About.
Well, I just thought of other bands that famous.
So, She's So High reached the number one spot in the Billboard
Heat Seekers
Adult Top 40.
Oh, so up here too in number one spot on Billboard's Heat Seekers chart.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Heat Seekers chart is, so that kind of really, I mean, it's cool, but so Heat Seekers chart is like the chart for songs when they first come out.
Mm-hmm.
They're only allowed to be in there for like a few couple of weeks, unlike the other chart where you can stay in there for like months or years.
Oh, gotcha.
And so it's like the kind of up and coming newest. So a lot of songs will hit number one on that and not necessarily like chart that high on others, but hit number one on that, went over to the Adult Top 40 chart and hit number one on that. So this, unlike some of the others that were, and that's why I like to save this one for last, unlike some of these other ones that were, it was like, you know, like I think Youngstown was like number 76 or something, even though it is considered a hit and a lot of kids that grew up in the 90s know it. This song literally was a hit, like number one. So it might be. Is there any other number ones on our list here? I don't know.
I thought there was one.
No, no. Jimmy Ray wasn't. New Radicals wasn't. The Verve was not. Verve was number 12. So I don't know if there are. If there is, there's not very many. So this is like this one was a monumental hit.
Fun fact for you.
Yes.
Tal Bachman.
It's more fun than my fun fact about Jacob Dylan.
Yes, he actually.
How about
wrote
my fact about Randy Bachman?
Yeah. He wrote the song She's So High about an experience that he had in high school when he was trying to get a girl to date his stepbrother. So it's written by a girl, and I think this was an interview with MTV News. And this is a quote from him. It says, "I attempted to bribe the hottest girl in our school to go out on a date with my stepbrother."
Okay.
And he also said, "So as the conversation between me and what I thought was this godly exalted woman progressed, I began to feel more and more uncomfortable and awkward. And so I just remember that feeling. I don't want to say fear, but just kind of being in awe of her."
So because she was like so hot and out of his league, he said she's so hot. I guess
makes sense.
Also about like some girl taking mushrooms or something.
Oh my god, this is a family friendly podcast.
What? I didn't say that.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. I already bleeped out my other thing.
No. Sorry.
She's so high. I thought it was like, oh, actually, no, it makes sense. She's so high, high above me. She's so lovely. Okay, yeah, it does make sense. Okay, yeah, it's not about drugs. As a kid, I'm not joking. I thought it was about drugs. I thought it was like an anti-drug song, like, don't do drugs. She's so high.
That's
I was young. I didn't know
very
what it meant.
Interesting.
I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was part of like the D.A.R.E. program. Okay. So, and it won a BMI award, and it won a Juno award, which is like Canada's Grammys. So
yeah, is that it? That's all of our songs we have.
That is all of our songs. We'll have to do another one
we're
of these.
We're definitely gonna do more of these. There's so many one hit wonders to cover, so there's gonna be multiple episodes of one hit wonders. If you guys have a one hit wonder, I think I mentioned this in the beginning, but you know, shoot us an email, generationxpodcast@gmail.com. you can also hit us up on Twitter, Gen X Podcast, Facebook, same thing, Gen X Podcast.
Now remember, this list was, we did early, or sorry, not early, late 90s, so 97, 98, 99. So, if you are listening to this at home and you're like, what? They missed, like, all these ones. Well, if it's early 90s, we will get to that at some point. We'll do another one of these. Yes, we will. And so, next week, we're doing Christmas in the 90s as our episode. So, right before Christmas. So, if you have any memories of Christmas.
Yeah, we want to hear from you guys, too. Just even like a toy or something you got for Christmas.
Yeah,
just anything you.
If you have any stories about Christmas in the 90s, or memories from growing up in the 90s. Or if you're older and you were, you know, first job in the 90s, or saving up to buy something for a loved one. Like, whatever your story is, Christmas that took place in the 90s. Go ahead and write into us. What's the email again?
GenerationXPodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, if you want to, we will give you a shout-out. You know, we'll give our
Twitter
handle.
Yeah, we'll read your story right on the air.
And unless you want to remain anonymous, then we'll make it anonymous. But, yeah, we'll give you a shout-out. Yeah, it's the end of episode number 2. How do you think it went?
Good.
Except the fact that we had to re-record half of it. Well,
not half of it. It was less than half. Redo part of it.
But I hope you guys that like happens. It. And we already have a ton of downloads after just one episode, so I'm so thrilled.
So excited. We hope that you can all share this with your friends and tell your friends and family that people that you know that might like this podcast about it. And we plan on doing some more really cool stuff in the future. We're going to do Snick at some point. We're going to start doing, like, I want to do some 90s movies. Maybe, like, we'll do Christmas next week. Maybe the week after we can do something about, like,
you know what we need to do?
Movie. No, wait a minute. You know what we should do? I'm having a live brainstorm on the air here.
I just had one, too.
Okay, you give yours and I'll give mine. Oh my gosh. And then we'll finish up.
Y2K.
That was what I just thought.
No way.
Yes, yeah. Yes, way. That's why I just thought.
That was not planned, guys.
At all. No, I was just thinking we should do one about Y2K. Because seeing that New Year's is coming up. Let's see if we did. Yeah, we could do it. Like, if next week we do Christmas, the week after we'll do one, and then, like, that little short week in December, we could do the Y2K one.
Oh, let's do it.
We should do it.
All right, guys.
Not that, because it's actually been 14 years, not 10, but it's all right.
It's fine.
Yeah, we'll do one about Y2, about New Year's Y2K, because that was funny.
That, oh my gosh. Can I just quickly, I know this has nothing to do with the episode that we just did.
Yeah, save it.
But wait, okay. Oh, okay.
Save it.
All right.
Save it.
Fine. It's really funny.
So we'll do the Y2K. Christmas in the
90s. You have to listen to find out.
We'll do Christmas in the 90s next week, and then I think we should pick a movie for the week after and pick some movie from the 90s, and you and I will watch it again, one that we've, like, seen and love, and we'll talk about it.
I actually got a request on, somebody reviewed us on iTunes requesting Clueless.
Really?
Yes.
So, you know what, and you can force me to watch it again.
So, also, another way you guys can request stuff is to review us on iTunes, because that would make my life, seriously.
Or tweet. They could send a tweet to you.
Yeah.
And we have a Twitter account for the podcast, right?
I already said it earlier.
Oh, you did? Okay,
pay attention.
I do pay attention. I'm busy watching the levels and stuff, you know? It's a very complicated process recording a podcast. All right, I'm done.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yes, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.